Hello, everyone, and welcome to I'm Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I am Bob.
And this is going to be a new comics listings for July 17th, correct. 2019.
Good job.
I got it with help of my watch. Yeah, cool new stuff. Lots of fun things. Jimmy Olsen, new series, new Loki series, a bunch of new fun things. And some great old favorites.
Old favorites. Good classic material. There's two facsimile reprint editions. One of which is, well, both, they're both cool, but one of them which is really cool.
One of them is amazing.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah. Throw X-Men on top.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about X-Men.
Put it on top.
I like the X-Men.
Yeah. It's crazy.
crazy shit's going on. They are just killing people left and right.
They are. And there's a throwaway line at the end that makes you think that maybe some of them will return. But it's an X-Men comic, so, I mean, why wouldn't you expect that to happen anyway?
Exactly. It's Marvel. I mean, I was like, trying to write the Loki description for our newsletter, and I was like, Loki is dead as of 2 weeks ago. He is back. And, you know, he's Marvel dead. So he was dead for, like, a week and a half.
I will say there is a panel in this X-Men comic, which is number 22 by Matthew Rosenberg and Salvador La Roca. And it is the most X-Men panel of all panels ever. It even has the gratuitous shiny butt, pouty jilted female. It's got it all.
It's got it all. All the X, all the men. Yep. X is going to give it to you.
And then, so this is the last issue before the relaunch next week. And also X-Force is out, and that is the last issue. We thought there was some incest in it, but it turns out it's not actually incest.
Yes, it turns out that...
I thought it was, though.
Hope is not related to Nathan.
Yeah, we thought that Hope was related to Cyclops, but
nope. It
turns out she's adopted.
Turns out
it's okay that she kisses her other brother.
Yes, it's an adopted brother situation, and he's somehow... Yeah, she was supposed to be like a virgin birth kind of thing. Like, she doesn't have a father. She has only a mother who claims that she wasn't. So she was the hope of mutant kind. She's kind of a Jesus type.
The Messiah, if you will.
And that was Messiah Complex was the name of that series, right? So it was that bad.
That sounds right.
Okay, so...
number one issue.
Who wants to see the Punisher shooting Brood in space? Of course you do. Yeah. So here it is.
I highly enjoyed this issue of this totally over the top. Like, it's the Punisher and J. Jonah Jameson just for some reason climb in a spaceship and fly into orbit where they kill Brood and space whales.
Yep. And that's it. That's kind of
I'm
the
sorry,
whole deal.
I spoiled the entire
You basically ruined the whole thing. Yeah. God damn it. No, it's fun. It's part of that old series. It's another one of those, like, bringing an old team back to do a fun one-shot series, like that Hulk book and everything. Yep.
What's the team? I didn't look.
I don't know the team,
Carla
honestly.
Pacheco? Adam Gorham? I don't know.
Maybe it's not one of those things, but it says Acts of Evil, which was one of the crossovers
A trick, because it was Acts of Vengeance.
Oh, right.
And it has the Acts of Vengeance logo.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Acts of Evil.
Oh, man, they totally got
me. So, really, I think it's just a straight-up crazy Punisher annual.
Awesome.
That came out and is super fun. And
either
also,
way,
the Punisher has Punisher underpants.
Yeah, it's the first appearance of the Punderpants. So enjoy that,
Captain Punderpants.
I am curious. It's a question that doesn't need to be asked, but I do want to know how he does put his emblems on, if they're iron-ons or screen prints.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you consider that his costume is essentially armor.
Like, yeah,
how does he do that? It's not like he's Batman.
Spray paint.
Yeah, I think it has to be. He's got a stencil.
Yes, I think probably a stencil.
And then a little one.
A little stencil for his underpants.
I'm going to talk about a really fun book that I super enjoyed called Superman's Pal Jimmy Olsen Number 1, which did not come out in 1955. It came out today. It's by Matt Fraction and Steve Lieber. It has a just over-the-top kind of super fun... like, I loved it. Honestly, like, I want to savor this one, so I didn't, like, really plow through it in terms of, like, I flipped through it enough to know that the art is amazing, that Metamorpho is a co-star.
I like this one quite a bit.
Yeah. It just looks great, and I know it's going to be great. and it's just completely crazy, and it has Metamorpho in it for like an
it's
extra,
very funny.
For an extra bonus.
Yes.
I loved it, and I expect I will love it even more when I sit down and read it.
Read it.
But let's talk about things we did also spend more time with, like
Ragnarok. This is the Simonson series Ragnarok that he's been doing for like the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, whatever it is, for IDW. Hmm. He's been doing like little things to it. It's just him getting to continue talking about Norse mythology without Disney getting a cut. It's cool.
Kudos.
It's good.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like if you like this Thor Simonson yeah. run, it's like continuing those types of themes.
Except not quite as, it's not quite as spacey.
And the paper is much shinier.
It's a higher quality fucking comic, even though it's made by a company with a 1% market share. God, doesn't that embarrass you, Marvel? No, of course. Nothing shames you. No. Nothing shames you.
They don't have time to worry about shame.
They're
too
busy
counting
money.
Billions of dollars.
It's so sadly true.
Yeah. What are we looking at now?
I'm looking at Captain Marvel number 8.
This is a big.
This is the big speculator.
The internet will tell you that this is the issue to get if you're interested in speculation. This is an issue to get in that there is a brand new character debut as
basically the internet speculation is that Captain Marvel has been sick for the last, I don't know how many issues. You've seen her kind of coughing and hacking. And the big assumption is that maybe she's got the Marvel cancer. Mm. And that they're going to do the same kind of thing that they did with the other Marvel.
And as we know, right, their recycling of storylines, that is entirely
possible. It's very likely. And then there's an introduction of a character here called Star of some sort, and they have a star in the title of something, and it's, I don't know, man, I don't understand how internet speculation works, but they're basically saying, oh, she's going to totally be the next Ms. Marvel or something, which they're not going to get rid of fucking Carol Danvers. So.
No, definitely not. I did enjoy that the character Hazmat from the Avengers Ranch or whatever that series was. I don't remember. What it was called.
Avengers Arena? Was that what it was?
Avengers Ranch.
One of my favorite salad dressings.
Yes, Avengers Ranch is the best. It's better than Hidden Valley. Basically.
Oh, so good. So speaking of
speculation
Batman number 75. There's all sorts of nonsense internet speculation that this is going to be a big deal because... thing happens, and the thing does happen,
yeah.
But who cares?
The thing is that it's the best issue of the Tom King Batman in many, many issues, and that is the reason why you should be interested in Batman number 75, more than that X character becomes X brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Which doesn't actually happen.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it doesn't happen.
It's not important.
It's not.
All that's important is that it's a fun comic, and if you want to read a good Batman comic, it's probably my favorite of the Tom King run so far.
It's definitely my favorite issue in many moons, many bi weeks.
Yeah.
It's decent.
Okay, let's talk about a comic I really liked. Hmm. This is kind of a surprise. Dynamite hired Christopher Priest to fix Vampirella. And he kind of did.
Yeah, Christopher Priest does what Christopher Priest does, which is make good written, well written.
Yeah,
comics. Good written comics.
Good. He done
written. He done made a good written.
He done read it good.
He read it.
This is a character issue of Vampirella. This is like Vampirella sitting on a couch talking to a therapist.
She's got personality.
Dressed like a human being, dressed like a normal person.
Yes.
Just like sitting there talking about the things that are going on in her life and explaining who she is.
It's a devastating plane crash.
Including a devastating plane crash. And also just kind of explaining all of the nonsense, like getting out of the way the idea that she's from Draculon and all these things that are hard... For a person to hold back the guffaws from when you're normally reading a Vampirella comic.
Yes.
It does not. It doesn't focus on the TNA aspects except for the covers. The covers are pretty cheesecakey.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it is.
Why does Alex Ross get a free pass when like Frank Cho doesn't?
I don't understand. When you're with Vampirella, what the fuck else are you going to do? It's true. Literally what every cover has been since the 60s.
And I guess she is like anatomically correct.
Yeah, she's
I mean, I don't know.
It's obviously male gazey the way that it's done. Yes, and she's half naked and all those things, but she's also not like gigantic fake boobs and other stuff. So whatever.
So
it is what it is. Great. Read this book.
That's cool.
Christopher Priest, well written, well drawn. And if you were ever going to read a Vampirella book, this is the one, because 85% of the time Vampirella books are garbage.
Yes.
Grant Morrison took a crack at it, and I feel like even he didn't really knock it out of the park back then.
I mean, I don't remember that.
I think I have some in the basement if you want to read it.
Nope,
nobody does.
Yep. But speaking of Vampirella, one of our first that we'll mention this week, facsimile editions.
This is so cool.
It's
I'm so
really
happy
cool.
They did this.
I love this. It's Vampirella magazine. So it's I guess it's the first appearance of Vampirella,
yep,
when she was kind of like a crypt keeper kind of character. She
absolutely.
Just kind of introduces the stories.
Correct.
This is great. And the production value on this is awesome. It's black and white, but the paper is straight newsprint. It looks and feels like truly like the old comic. Whereas the Marvel facsimile editions are all on that just beefy, plasticky,
super glossy,
coated
and
paper.
And then digitally recolored.
Which that in itself would be fine, but I just feel like part of what is awesome about old comics for me is that stock
this
is the first facsimile edition that really leaned hard into paper stock as a choice. I really enjoyed and immediately wanted to own this facsimile edition of Vampirella number one. It was cool. I'd never read it before.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's just like a bunch of short stories, horror, EC style, kind of like, I guess, Warren style.
It's in the Warren style, which, you know, Warren really predates EC on some of that stuff with Black Cat and some of their early horror stuff. So
also, did you know my middle name is Warren?
Yes.
Because it is.
And that's why, right?
Yes,
you're named after Erie Comics.
I was named after the Jack Warren. And his publishing empire.
Oh, also, speaking of which, we have the James Warren book.
Oh, James Warren.
We have copies of the gigantic biography. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's so fucking dense. I'm like about 35 pages into it.
Hmm.
It's literally
sitting
on my nightstand right there.
It looks cool.
It's great.
It's orange with green letters.
It's also beautifully made. Like it looks really nice.
Mm.
So, yes. Those things.
Can I talk about this?
Oh, yeah, sure. Talk about that.
Okay. So this one, actually, this is a book. So DC has the Young Animal imprint, which Doom Patrol and some other books came up from, and then they canceled all those books, and then they recently relaunched with a Wave 2, of which Doom Patrol was part, and then now the first book that isn't Doom Patrol, which is called Collapser. Number one came out. This is written by Mikey Way, who is Gerard Way's brother, and Sean Simon and Ilias.
I certainly hope he is younger than 15, because if you're named Mikey and you're over 15, that's tough.
That said, I wasn't expecting to really care. Brand new character, superhero university, kind of like...
I was surprised too.
The concept itself kind of felt like Zorn in that it was like a guy with a black hole in his chest and...
Sure.
Instead of his brain or whatever. And so it was like on paper, I was kind of just like, I don't know. I love this.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
This issue establishes the kind of the setup and mostly just kind of gets into the life of the main character who is a DJ and how he gains this weird, bizarre power, but then how the power manifests itself is in kind of very strange ways, like where you can see like through time and stuff and like just kind of weird. It was weirder.
It felt very vertigo-y.
It felt very vertigo-y.
It is very vertigo.
But that's not a bad thing for me. I thought the art was really strong and the story was good. the narration was it was introducing you to a world that was essentially like the world you live in. So it wasn't like there wasn't this world building kind of fatigue that I've been experiencing with a lot of new issues, new series starting out.
I agree with that.
It was just kind of like, here's this kid and here's his problem and it was here's how he has superpowers also and stuff. And I thought it was good. It was a strong first issue for me. I enjoyed it.
Agreed. So Usagi Yojimbo, number two.
Yeah.
It continues to be an Usagi story.
Yep.
Just all the things that you like about Usagi, it's got it. So if that's what you like, that's what you get.
Yes.
Very, very excited to see that there's going to be an Usagi TV series. That makes me very happy. They're going to do...
Didn't see that.
It looks like a Cartoon Network type thing. It looks gorgeous. I saw some Stan Sakai.
Like animated?
It's animated, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stan Sakai tweeted out some stuff about it, and it looks great. I was really happy to see that, mostly just because, god damn it, give Stan Sakai some fucking money. He deserves money.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
What is
also,
that?
Showing Tristan in the previously, we talked about Ragnarok.
Oh my god, that's good.
There's a Stan Sakai double page Ragnarok pinup with like Usagi in hell kind of thing.
Yeah.
Along with Thor. It's just a really cool
pinup.
That's
great.
Enjoyable. That's in the Ragnarok from IDW. But also Usagi is out, and that is also from IDW.
Fair Lady number four?
Fair Lady number four. I really like Fair Lady. It's a cool series. I've said a lot about it.
It's the same thing as apply. Aquaman, gigantic 50th issue.
In this issue, Aquaman marries a woman without gills.
But no, you're of two different worlds.
The setup. It was my favorite joke. I say that actually quite often. No, Aquaman, actually, this actually was really pretty good. A little bit of that thing where the cover is literally a picture of Black Manta, the giant letters that say Black Manta Returns, and then it's like the entire issue happens, and then on the last two pages, like, all of a sudden there's this like little epilogue where Black Manta shows up. And I was like, kind of, really? This is like the 50th issue of Aquaman, and the entire cover is dominated by this Black Manta Returns, and then he's like, not in it. That said, I really liked the issue. I love that they just like leaned into the Jason Momoa Aquaman. Like, it's straight up, it's just like how he is now. Like, Aquaman is like a kind of a dork goofball, but like super buff and...
Yeah,
awkward-y.
I mean, he's still blonde, but he is...
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes him not like the movie Aquaman.
He is otherwise...
It's like Aquaman is just now the movie Aquaman. And I actually kind of like it, because it's like that Aquaman that's like the Brave and the Bold Aquaman, where it's just kind of boisterous and kind of...
Oh, absolutely.
Super fun.
He's kind of like the Tick. So, Clued, Candlestick number 3. From Dash Shaw is out.
Yeah.
This is
a cool series.
I don't know if you can call it a sleeper. I just feel like nobody knows about it. It's not selling for me very well because I think people don't know that Dash Shaw's doing it. I think his fans don't realize that he's on a Clue comic.
I think
no
this
one
is
can
the last
kind
issue.
Of understand why he would do it. Either way, pick this up in trade if you've missed it. If you are a fan of this type of indie art, he is so good. It's crazy.
I missed number two, but number one was awesome, and I really loved it. And also the really cool thing about this one is it has Clue game pieces as the back cover that you can cut out, and you can use that. So you can basically play Dash Shaw Clue with your regular Clue. You'll have to talk about this comic because I barely read it.
Okay, Blade Runner 2019. This is a Blade Runner comic from Titan Comics. They're just... It's not going to change the world.
Yeah, I just totally missed it. I don't know how.
It's a very Blade Runner story. You know, it's somebody who's out hunting replicants and maybe a little corrupt. You start off and you know that she's kind of on the shady side because she gets somebody. She was about to try to take their eyes from them. And then they poke them out with a knife. Keep her away from him.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff like that that's a little like, oh, hey, this is going to be a little darker, crazier version of what's going on. She seems to be a little less, I don't know, on the up and up. than say the Harrison Ford character. It's I don't know. It's a cool, fun little thing.
Yeah.
If you love this world, you're gonna dig it. I mean, just seeing the spinners driving around and like the just the buildings and everything. It's the world. People who love this love the world, and they're gonna love this book.
Yeah, the world itself, like the environment, is very much like the film. But the if you were to make a film of this comic, it would have a lot of CGI.
Yes,
Or at least it would have a significant amount of CGI, because there's like a couple things that happen. It's like there's no way they would have that in the movie.
Yeah,
but it's not unbelievable for the franchise.
Yeah, it's you know, it's just it's that wonderful thing about comics where there kind of isn't really a budget constraint.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Immortal Hulk number 21 is awesome. Al Ewing and guest artist.
It's so awesome that Bob had to actually explain it to me.
Well, it's
I got a little confused in the middle of this one. To be fair, I didn't give it the attention it needed. But I was like, I thought there was time travel involved at one point.
No. And there it's is like, okay. There is a
crazy teleportation.
So there's no time travel. There is a story being told across multiple it's one guy who is General Fortian, who has appeared in the Hulk in the past. And it's basically like, it's basically like his origin. Or the origin of how he ends up being like a big Hulk villain. And it plays really, it's really smart. It's really well done. So it plays over the span of his life. So that's why I think he thought it was time travel. Also, there's some teleportation involved. But there are, if they play through on it, there are some major ramifications for amount of characters for the Marvel Universe. And also there's a part where he shoots the Absorbing Man with drugs and turns the Absorbing Man into drugs. Which I think is in itself just that one thing, totally kind of brilliant.
Yeah, there's
like,
some.
How are you going to take out the Absorbing Man? Just shoot him with drugs so that he turns into those drugs.
It's fun. It's a crazy book.
It's crazy. It's
an insane book.
And the guest art is a little different than what's been. It's a little brighter.
Especially the color scheme. Yeah. It's like very pinky, bluey, kind of like. Not dark and sinister the way that it has been, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I think I would have loved to have seen this issue illustrated by the guy who illustrated Manhattan Project, Nick Pitaro.
Oh, wow.
But that said, Bodenheim.
I think that's getting a little weird for Marvel at this juncture.
Maybe. But the artist here is, his last name is Bodenheim, and I'm not super familiar. Ryan Bodenheim. And anyway, he's great, and it was a great issue. The Hulk. I'm going to briefly talk about another comic that I really like. Actually, I'm going to talk... I don't know. Can I just say that I actually really enjoyed that issue of Nightwing?
Yeah, I mean...
I hate the current
Rick Grayson. It brings talent into it, which is cool.
Well, it actually just is like... I don't know why. Maybe it's just the art or something is different about it, but like... Because it's Dan Jurgens is writing it. I don't. Maybe it's just that it like didn't present it as like a multi arc. Like you don't like you have to keep track of what's because this whole thing that they're doing with Nightwing I really hate. But like this issue is just kind of like he acknowledges the fact that like he had this past. He just can't remember it. I guess it's just more like. It's I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, the new issue of Nightwing is the least terrible of the current run.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good.
Yeah.
And
what's next?
Yeah, and also all of these DC issues are all have this little tag tie-in.
Did you still want me to explain that whole thing?
No.
Okay.
Do you think that people want to know the answer to that?
Well, the answer is that there is the thing called the Year of the Villain, where it is basically the exact same thing as DC did in the early 90s when they had a guy called Neron come out of hell and then give all the supervillains extra powers. But now, instead of it's Neron, it's like Lex Luthor, and he's somehow a half-Martian. And that's all.
Okay.
It's that weird and weird.
That's
that weird.
That's pretty weird.
That's DC's entire line of mainstream books for the foreseeable future.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, so there's a second issue of Trout, the Troy Nixie Dave Stewart book.
Cool.
I mean, geez, guys.
That's cool looking.
Everything he does is awesome, and nobody buys it. So buy it, because Nobody. Not as many people as he deserves to have reading. Good job. No, but I mean, like, he's one of those guys that, I don't know, he doesn't have the kind of impact that I think he deserves.
I think he's got brilliant. People don't respond to ugliness.
Yeah.
And his stuff is beautiful, but it's a beautiful ugliness.
I think that if you're like a Brian Froud fan, or like if you're a fan of like Monty Python or those sorts of things, I think this is literally made for you.
It might even just be too British.
It also might just be too British.
I don't know. Is Troy Nixie British?
I don't think so. I think he's Canadian.
Oh, it's too Canadian.
Maybe it's just too Canadian.
That said, it was really cool. It's a great looking book.
I sent him a message when Vinegar Teeth came out, and I was like, hey, this thing's awesome. Good job. And he was like, thanks, man.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, that's cool.
Oh, we've made our way to facsimile edition number 2, which is Giant Size X-Men number 1 facsimile edition. My favorite thing about this was getting to see my favorite old-timey act, which is Count Dante, Deadliest Man Alive.
He is the deadliest man alive.
He was in 1975.
Well, he will never stop being the deadliest man alive.
I mean, until he dies.
Oh, no. You think that he can die?
I mean, I don't know for sure. I don't actually know if he's a real person.
There's a documentary about him.
What?
That someone was trying to kickstart. And, I think it was called, like, Finding Count Dante or something
God,
like that.
Why didn't they call it Dante's Inferno?
Because Dante Alighieri would sue you.
The estate of Dante Alighieri. Yes. I gotcha.
No, I don't know, but I want that to get made. I don't think it got funded, though, unfortunately.
Oh, man. That's like the only thing that I've heard of not getting funded ever. Yeah. Like, literally everything.
Movies are always a hard time because they need like $75,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when you're like, I needed $5,000 to make a comic. It's
I contributed to an Indiegogo that is like down to the wire. It just got funded. And I was like, how is this guy not making $2,000? This book looks amazing.
Oh.
And I wonder if it's just that it's Indiegogo and not Kickstarter.
Indiegogo's tough because even if he doesn't have the money to make it, he gets the money.
Oh, so people are hesitant.
Like with Kickstarter, you know,
if it doesn't get funded, like, you don't have to pony up.
Right, exactly. So it's like if I'd gotten like $500 for Rad Wraith and I'd gone, well, fuck, I don't have any money and I can't make this book, then
you just get the $500.
Yeah, exactly. I'd still get the money, but I wouldn't be able to make the book.
Interesting. Okay. Well, either way, this thing that's called Pink Lemonade got funded, and it was really,
nice.
It's really cool.
That's why the movie that I funded for like $150. About Bigfoot never got made.
Huh.
Called Megafoot.
Why didn't it get made?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I think they just didn't have enough money to do it. But it was on Indiegogo, so they still got like $10,000, but it wasn't enough money.
Oh, I see. So you gave them money.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying it was your
But they
movie.
Gave me so much stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Like,
did they give you many feet?
Yes, they gave me all sorts of crazy shit. Didn't even matter that the movie wasn't made. All the crap that they made for it was so cool. I was stoked.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like $150 worth of awesome stuff. It was totally fun.
So they still gave you stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The movie didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. Little Bird, number 5, is out.
It's a Little Bird.
Darcy Von Poelgeest, Ian Bertram, and Matt Hollingsworth. They have completed chapter 5, which is the final issue of Little Bird. And what an ending it is. Beautiful book.
Yep.
Can't say enough good things about Little Bird. It's great. It's going to be a trade, I would imagine, quite soon. And when it comes out as a trade, if you didn't get the issues, get the trade. Because it's cool. That
is
a book that is super Canadian.
Yes.
In a super good way. This
is intentionally very Canadian.
Yes, it is. In that it is set in Canada.
True. Wonder Woman, Come Back to Me, number 1. This is the Walmart Wonder Woman book. It's okay. It has Wonder Woman with a bunch of animals. Jimmy Palmiotti, I think. Is that who it is?
This is the Walmart Wonder Woman book.
So Palmiotti.
Is Connor. Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti and Chad Harden, who drew Harley Quinn. It's a Wonder Woman story. It's good. Kind of a classic. There's a really weird ad for the Preacher TV show on the back that we're kind of puzzling over right now. Perhaps that's on the back of many DC Comics.
Ah, I see. It's just explaining that they're on Hulu now.
Ah,
oh, crap. I can watch Preacher now.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
I watched the first season, and then I just never watched it again.
I have somebody who just keeps telling me to watch it.
So you know what's awesome, though? Maybe I've said this before. Swamp Thing.
Ah.
It's so good.
I don't want to have to pay for the stupid service.
I pay for it, and I have been rewarded. Doom Patrol was awesome, and Swamp Thing is better. Yeah. Like, and I don't mean it's better because it's different. Like, I can't explain in words how much I love the Swamp Thing.
God damn it.
It is so good. I am so mad at them for shortening the season by 3 episodes, by canceling it before the first episode aired. It is so good and so worthy of continuing on. I can't, like, it's gruesome in a way. Like, I hate gore, but it is gory in a way that is totally rad. Like, totally like a rights and drawing come to life. Like, super
God damn
faithful
it.
To like the everything from Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson to Alan Moore and Steve Bissett. Like, the only complaint I have about it is that Swamp Thing's mouth is a little weird looking. It's a little weird looking. And his eyeballs are
just weird. Because he's a little weird looking doesn't mean
it's not enough bad. To stop me from enjoying it. And also Doom Patrol. But I think they're gonna be on. Did I just unplug something?
No, that was me.
I
think we're recording into the regular mic, even though it sounds like we're talking into these phones again.
Oh,
God damn it.
Is that happening?
Can't tell. It seems a little funky.
Sorry. Anyway, we should talk about comic books.
Yes. Unstoppable Wasp.
Final issue.
Yes.
Ghost Tree, also final issue, number 4. Ghost Tree was a little beautiful ghost story set in Japan. It was really good. Simon Gain did the art, and Billy Kernow. I've now tried to remember his name. So Bobby Kernow. I'm sorry. It's my own name and I forgot it. It's great. That's going to be a good trade from IDW. Good stuff.
Spider-Man Life Story number 5.
Ooh,
the aughts.
That is the Civil War issue of Spider-Man Life Story. In case you were wondering what Marvel storyline was incorporated into this one. Also,
yep.
He goes to Puerto Rico. Actually, that isn't. It just looks like it because the Puerto Rican flag is on the cover.
It does. So Superior Spider-Man number 9 is out.
Also featuring the return of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. One of my faves. Sonata number 2 from Shadowline Image is out. This is that crazy, steampunk version of Avatar? I don't know. It's fun that I wasn't really on board for the first issue, and now the second issue has some cool things creeping into it that I'm like...
Looks cool.
Is that
David Hein?
Yes. The monsters that they added to it, I was like, oh, I think now that it's getting into this big monster stuff, I think I'm actually...
He does creepy.
He might be
really
getting
well,
me on board.
Like, really creepy stuff.
Yeah.
Silver Surfer Black, number 2.
Yep. Yeah.
Good. Pretty cool. Donny Cates, Trad Moore. Pretty cool. Good stuff.
Loki.
Yeah.
Oh, Loki number 1. I liked this quite a bit. It's just fun, silly crap.
Yeah.
If you liked the other Loki series, you're going to like this one.
I don't understand why they revamp Loki every time they do a Loki comic. Like,
how do you mean?
It feels like a different character every time there's a
because
new series.
Because he dies.
He's had like
before,
4 series.
He dies before every series and comes back as something different.
He's like Doctor Who.
Yeah, basically. And I think that he appeals to a Doctor Who crowd too.
Okay.
But he really is.
Also,
like,
people think Tom Hiddleston is very attractive.
Yes, that's also a reason that Loki is a popular character.
It's true.
But you know, like, he came back as a kid, came back as a woman, came back as, you know. He's come back several times as different versions. He came back as like an ugly, old, weird version of himself. He was
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, the
ugly old looking.
The Journey into Mystery version. He was kind of like gnarled. He looked like Gnarls Barkley.
Gnarls. So there's a new Loki, and it is good. There's also a Rumble number 14. Rumble. Not Arundel, but Rumble by John Arcudi.
Arundel in the Bronx.
David Rubin. I really like this comic. It's a good one. I dig it.
So,
Justice League is an event.
Justice League.
If you believe everything that you see in the pages of Justice League, this issue is the death of a major character. I don't believe it for a single second.
Yes, there's no way.
Also, Lex Luthor is now half Martian, and I just can't get over it.
They will never kill Jaro.
No, Jaro is entirely, the next issue is all Jaro.
I know, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
That's the only thing I care about in this series is Jaro.
Yeah, this is Year of the Villain, the thing that we were sort of kind of mocking a little bit, or this is like the main thing of it is in Justice League, and I mean, I don't know. If you think that the thing that would make Lex Luthor a cooler villain is that he became half Martian and got claw hands...
I do.
Then this is the comic for you.
That was the one.
This is your comic.
Hey, Deadpool 15.
Deadpool 15. Invaders 7. What's this one?
Invaders 7, Deadpool 15.
Deadpool Daredevil. 15 was actually interesting. It's Scotty Young's last issue.
And they did a great variant for this issue, which I really liked.
Ooh.
It was a throwback to that Spider-Man variant that they did where he was all... It was like the first appearance of Hit Monkey or one of those early issues. He was all geared up in the 90s gear.
Oh, I actually have that cover.
Yeah, such a good cover. Yeah. It was really funny.
Have a mini-mate of that version.
The better Scotty Young covers. Yeah. And so they did an homage to that where he's dressed up as Carnage.
Oh, that's cool. The cool thing about that cover, I thought, was that it was not like a Marvel baby.
Yeah.
It was like an actual drawing of Spider-Man wearing the armor from the 90s, and I dug it. I can't believe we didn't talk about this earlier. It just ended up on the bottom of the stack. Age of X-Man Omega. This is the final story in the Age of X-Man that's been going on for like the last 5 years.
And if you
want to
know where the hell everybody went...
Yeah.
That's kind of the explanation.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I would kind say of being the opposite.
Kind of would be a very important version of that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So there's some good trades.
Good trades. Yeah, let's talk about some of these things. So last week we talked about something that I couldn't figure out how to pronounce. It's called Bottom Feeders.
Yes, Ben Passmore's book from Your Black Friend and some other very cool things.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. So, yes, Ben Passmore's new thing. We got more copies of it in because we sold out last week. And
whoa,
so we have those now.
Also, another comic book that came out that I didn't bring was Star Trek Year 5, number 3. Also, The Orville, number 1. Mm. Also came out.
If you are into that series, there is now a Dark Horse tie-in to that TV show.
Yes. There's also Firefly. There was also G.I. Joe. There was also Faithless. A few other books.
Faithless. Oh my God.
And Black Science.
Faithless had a nakedy cover by Jenny Frazone.
Red? Is that a bagged nakedy cover?
Yeah. Amazing.
Ooh. Oh, cool. Black Science also came out, this new issue. Okay, so, and Love and Rockets, new Love and Rockets. Now, trades, Miles Morales, the first of the Saladin Ahmed run, looks like.
Oh yeah, that's just a restock, sorry.
Oh, restock, sorry. looks like you've also restocked issues of Squee.
I did. We've been, they put...
Those never go out of stock.
Oh my God, they've been reissuing the issues again, and so we're just restocking all of Johnny. We have like... You know, cool. 1 through 10 of Johnny the Homicidal Maniac back in stock.
What?
We got like 10 copies of each one of those in the bins.
Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome. It's just nice to have that stuff in stock. It's just so weird because like they used to reissue 1, 2, and 3 as like a casuals kind of thing where it's like, okay, sure, number 1's back in print. But now they reissued up to 10. So I think it's up to 10, but like a huge run of it. It's awesome.
Cool. You also received a bunch of X-Men trades. Now, I feel like because of maybe the new X-Men relaunch next week, maybe that's why they're pumping out so many X-Men trades.
Correct.
Here we have one called Epic Collection, It's Always Darkest Before the Dawn, which features art
all
by,
sorts of shit that is not an actual X-Men comic at all.
Yeah, based on the fact that Spider-Man, the Avengers, and the Invisible Woman are on the cover.
It's all the crossovers.
No, Steve Englehart, Len Wein,
but it's some good
Sal
stuff.
Buscema, Tom Sutton, Herb Trimpe, and Gil Kane.
Yeah.
Also, oh wait, I'm going backwards. Godzilla, Kingdom of Monsters.
Yeah, that was the Eric Powell series.
Ooh,
cool. Unfortunately, he did not illustrate the whole thing, which would have been fucking incredible. Yeah, but but instead, he did write it, and it's really fun. And they reissued it as one big ass trade, as opposed to the two or three little ones.
Nice. So, Grumble, Volume 1.
Grumble,
a dog. You're the dog now, man.
It's the little pug named Grumble.
Yes. Die, die, die.
Yes.
Is the Kirkman?
The Kirkman. Is that a volume? Everything gets shot and punched and exploded.
And someone's nose gets cut off.
Correct.
Bags.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, and I ordered a bunch of them.
Yeah,
looks good.
It looks neat. By Patrick McHale. Sorry, I'm zooming in.
Just goes to show you how much
from
I pay attention
Emmy
to what I do.
Award-winning creator of Over the Garden Wall.
Oh, Patrick that's why McHale. I did it. Yes. That I now Bags. I know why I ordered so many of those.
Bags.
Because it's Over the Garden Wall person.
Also, I was really excited to see this on the shelves. A trade collection of the Havoc and Wolverine miniseries from
Meltdown.
The 80s. Meltdown. This is a Chernobyl era. Louise Simonson, Walter Simonson, John J. Muth.
Yeah, it's
Kent
mostly
Williams.
Mostly Muth doing it.
Yeah, it's like a fully painted Havoc and Wolverine miniseries
so cool.
That I really enjoyed when it was new. I had the issues.
As did I.
Yeah,
I was
a
big fan of that series.
And then
in fact, I believe I got them from my wife.
Ooh.
I believe Michelle actually bought it before I did, and she gave it to me.
Nice.
So, again, I was slower to pick up on comics than my wife. My wife was actually into comics before I was.
That's pretty lame.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I mean, it's cool for Michelle. But
I eventually got there. I'm sorry.
It is good that you got there. Also, you have a really cool comic book store.
See,
so, you know, it kind of makes up a little bit.
I was compensating.
Yeah. Nice. Also, X-Men Fall of the Mutants, one of my favorite initial X-Men. It's an era that I like. And it has that really cool promo, Alan Davis, All the Dead Mutants cover. I love that image.
All the Dead Mutants.
All the Dead
Mutants.
Carry
the news.
Wolverine, The Living Hunt, The Long Night. Wolverine, The Long Night.
The Living Daylights.
The Living Wolverine. And that's the podcast that became a comic that became a trade.
Yes.
And also The Adventure Zone. Here There Be Goblins. New York Times number one bestseller.
Correct.
And then I got to a picture of the shiny Misdreavus I caught in Pokemon Go.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting for me.
Okay, so those are the things. I don't know what else there is going on.
The cat
wants us to stop
out.
Because he hasn't been fed, and it's been 20 minutes after 9 o'clock,
oh
and he's
God.
Pissed.
It is 20 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so I think that's all we needed.
Yeah. So this has been our 67th episode, and I'm just going to drop this. When we get to number 74, that's when we're going to drop our new format. So a few more, but just think about that. There's been 67 of these.
That's insane.
We've been doing this for over a year, folks.
Wow. And we almost know how to do it.
I think we do good.
We're getting there.
I feel good about it. I listen
Me
to
too.
Them every once in a while.
Awesome. Good.
All right. Cool. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
Yeah, buy comics.
Buy comics. Bye.